The scripture reading this morning will be from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 1 John 4, 1 through 5. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you, Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that the spirit is of the Antichrist, who of we have heard that it should come, and now is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them.
Morning.
Morning.
Have you seen that my lesson this morning is going to be on test? And you think about test. We have a test on everything we do each and every day, just about. You think of as a student, you're tested on your skills that you have learned from the beginning of the year to the middle of the year to the end of the year. And if you're not in school, then you are brought up on evaluation from your work. So you're tested by something to see if you have gotten better or if you've gotten worse. So we always have a test about us. We're always testing something. We're also testing the material that we use, or we're testing the ways that we do our job, or we're testing the way that we're teaching our children, or we teach them in the way they should go. So when you think of tests, there's a test around us each and every day. We're always being tested, or we're testing. So as you think about that, that's what I want to deal with today on testing. And we think about tests. This is the scene there in the scripture, and it says, test the spirits, see whether they are of God or not. So you're testing the spirits. How are you testing the spirits? Is there a standard? Huh? Yeah, there's a standard. There's a standard for everything you test for. If you're testing for the purity of gold, purity of silver, there's a test that you got to follow to make sure that is pure, those minerals are pure. Same with anything you're mining, same with oil, same with crude oil. You're testing it to see how pure it is. And there's a standard that you go by. So as we are to test the spirits here in this scripture, we have to have a standard. Do we have a standard? Yes, we have a standard. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians, said, when that which is perfect is come, then all these things will be done away with. We won't need the spiritual gifts that were given to the first century church because we've been given the complete revelation. We have a standard to go by. We have a standard to test these spirits, see whether they are of God or not, to see if they are the Antichrist. He said they are some because they've already come. We've already seen them. They're already here in the world. So that's what we're going to look on today. How do we test the spirits? No, we're not going to look in that. We're going to get a little more personal than that. We're going to do what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians, his 13th chapter. I'd like for you to turn there, if you will, in the 5th verse. What he's telling us to do there, in that 13th chapter, verse 5. Because this here gets a little more personal. That's what he's getting here with these saints at Corinth. He's getting a little more personal. He's wanting them to do something. There in verse 5 it says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, test yourself. Examine yourself. These two Greek words, test and examine, are both the same Greek word. And it means to do something. It means to try, to make trial of or test. So when you're making trial of it or you're trying, you're going to try your faith, test your faith, see whether you are in the faith, see whether you are following those things. That's something we need to be doing each and every day, testing ourselves. Well, today I'm going to give you some standards to go by, which we have scriptural standard for us to test our spiritual life. Are we growing or are we failing? There isn't going to be a little bit of gray matters. Well, you're okay. Everybody gets a trophy, participation trophy. It's not going to be that way on the day of judgment. You're not going to say, well, you participated as a Christian. Here's your trophy. Here's your reward. No, you're going to be tested by that standard that he's given. And that standard, did you live by the gospel, by the words they've given through apostles and prophets? Or did you live by Jim's standard? or whoever's standard. Just use your own name, my standard. No, we're going to be tested by the standard that's been given us to go by. And today I'm going to give some, but there's going to be others that you can go check for yourselves that we won't get into, or we will spend way too much time and spend an hour or so going through the whole standard that God has given us. I'm going to hit some highlights to see. And you can take these, write these verses down. You go home, we're going to read them and kind of touch upon them. But you go home and read them and ask yourself, am I doing these things? Or am I getting a C+? Or am I getting a D-? Or am I just completely flunking? Or am I getting a straight A? Am I doing that? And I know you all remember Franklin Wakefield. He told me one day, we was talking, and he was always coming up with some wild things anyway, some off-the-cuff thing. But he said, I was thinking one day, I was picking him up and bringing him to church on a Wednesday night, I think it was, or a Sunday night, something. And he said, have you ever thought about asking God, I said, how's my score sheet going? Is it doing pretty good? He said, I've always wanted to ask God, can I see my score sheet? Am I doing what I should be doing? And he has the New Testament to go by that standard. We already have our score sheet. We just got to fill it out. And that's what he thought. He said, man, that would be great, wouldn't it? He said, but I can know myself. So I always remembered, I don't know how many years ago it was when he told me that, but it always sticks in my mind. Hey, Lord, how am I doing? Well, take this and this will tell you how you're doing. That's what we're going to look at today. The first scripture I want to go to is 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And if you will, if you want to, I should say, write these down, and then you can just kind of look at them later on. 5th chapter, we're going to look in verse 12, and we'll read a few of those verses there. And then we're going to kind of hit upon those as we go through. In the 5th chapter, the 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 12, and this here, if you, maybe some of your guys' heading says Christian conduct. Well, there's a standard right here. If you're going, first of all, Christian conduct, this is going to tell you a little bit of standard to go by. The first thing is that it says, but request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So here we have a few that he's mentioned right here. You could test yourself and ask yourself, am I doing these things? The first one he's talking says, appreciate those who work among you that labor over you. He's talking about the others. Appreciate what they're doing. Appreciate the work that they're doing for you. Appreciate that they're looking out for your souls. Because and the writer of Hebrews says that those that have rule over it are going to have to get an account of those things. So appreciate what they're doing. Take care to look for them and everything. And he said, do this in love. Because the ones that are looking over you, the elders that's looking over your congregation or this congregation, love the souls of their people, that their flock, their sheep. We're guarding that flock. If one goes astray, we are trying to get those to come back. We're going out searching for that one. So appreciate that. And you can put that as number one, okay? Check about the elders, okay? What am I doing about the elders? Am I appreciating what they're doing? Am I praying for them? And that. Then he goes to the next thing. He says, be at peace with each other. Well, check that on your list too. Am I at peace with all my brethren? Or is there some brethren I just soon not talk to? Not soon not be around? But you need to ask yourself, am I at peace with each other? Am I at peace with my brethren? Am I helping them? Then he goes on and talks about, and the next thing he talks about, say, be able to admonish the unruly. But in a loving manner, do that. Because why? They're our brethren. Be able to admonish it and do it in the right way. Have a little salt in your words. Be a little diplomatic about it. Know the one that you're talking about, talking to, that has been unruly, that isn't living the way that they should. Speak with them as you would with your very own children. Have that loving heart. You want them to get better. You want to help them out. You don't want them to go down that road. So you admonish them in a loving manner. And the next thing he says on this, says, those who are strong, encourage one another. Encourage, be caring and patient. And we'll see that as we get to Galatians here in a little bit. And then he goes on, he says, be grateful. Giving God the glory and praise. Be grateful with what you have. Be content with what you have. Don't be unhappy because God hasn't done what Romans, the 8th chapter, says. All good things come to those who believe in the Lord. He's not talking about those physical things you're going to get, those good things that you get. He's talking about those spiritual gifts you have, those spiritual blessings that you have in Christ. That's what you get for those who believe in Christ. They receive those good things. Because if you think about it, we don't always get everything. Now we're believers, everything's good for us. Do everybody agree with that? There ain't working good for you? No, that's not what he's talking about. Because if it did, then we wouldn't have no complaints, no problems at all. We'd be at peace with everything. We'd have all kinds of joy. But he's talking about those spiritual gifts you have, or that you get, and blessings. And then here comes one that's hard for me, and it's probably hard for a lot of you. Rejoice always. Be happy with what you have. Be content with it. Because you're only here for a few years, and then it's gone. Like a vapor, like a flower, blooms, then it fades. It's gone. Think of your life. If you're older like me, or even older than I, think about, you can even look back to when you was a kid. How fast has it gone to where you're at now? If you think about it, it's pretty quick. I know I've told you some of this, some of you this story, but I had a guy come up to me last year or year before. He said, man, I wish I was in your position. I said, why is that? He said, you're about ready to retire. I said, no, you don't. I said, I'm not to the beginning of my life or the beginning of my career, and I could change everything if I could. I'm at the end of it. And I said, you know what? I can remember the first job that I started on and where I worked at the first day. And that was 34 years ago. I said, I can remember that. I said, it's like that. It seemed like it's yesterday I started that. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. It's just that fast. So you need to rejoice for what you have. Enjoy the days that you have. And then he goes to the one that also is sometimes a problem for me and probably for a lot of you. He says, pray without ceasing. Have a prayerful heart. Continue in prayer. It says pray without ceasing. Does that mean you're praying every 24/7? No, you have that attitude. Whenever it's trouble, whenever it's problems, you automatically go to God in prayer. And he's the one you need, the one that you want to go to get those answers. Then he goes on down a little bit further. He says, always be thankful for what you have. And we just talked a little bit about that, that you're content with what you have. Be thankful for that. And he says, do not quench the words of the Spirit. Don't stop those words. Don't hold them back. But allow them to enter your heart. Allow yourself to meditate upon them. Just as David talks about there in the 119th Psalms, meditate upon God's word daily, night and day. He said, I want to meditate upon them so I may not sin against you. That's what he said there in the 119th Psalms. But he goes on and on about God's word, the spirit of the words of the Spirit. They're our sword. They're what we do battle with. In Ephesians 6th chapter, he talks about that's one of the things that we're going to battle with. We're not got the steel spear, but we've got the word of God to battle against those fiery darts, those schemes of the devil. We're able to defend ourselves. And also the Hebrew writer talks about the sword is sharper than any two-edged sword. So we have a sword. to battle with, to defend ourselves with, even to be on the offense with, to put forward God's word, to stand up for God's word, even though sometimes in our country or daily in our country, we are said, those things that are right are wrong. But the things that are wrong are right. So we need to be able to defend, and we have that spirit, the sword of the Spirit. So, and he also talks about to examine ourselves to see whether we are of God. Ask yourself daily, am I doing the will of my Father? Am I walking in those paths? Am I walking, as you've seen before, it talks about the footprints of Jesus. Are you walking in those footprints? Are you following those examples he's left for us to follow? That's how you're going to test yourself. There's a standard for us to go by, and that's that standard. Then also says, don't go back into the world. Stay away from the things that are not good. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to make a wrong decision. Don't get into that situation. Think a little bit before you get into some of those situations. Instead, repel evil. In other words, get away from evil. If you would use a bug spray to repel the insects, you want to use your bug spray to repel the devil and his schemes. And you got that. You got that standard. You got the Word of God. Then in Philippians, I would like for you to turn there. You can put that down as your next place to go to. Philippians. The first chapter, verses 9 through 11. Like I said, there's many other ones we could go to, but time won't allow us to do that. But as you study the New Testament, as you help it become ingrained in your heart, you'll learn more and more things that you could be doing and should be doing to make yourself grow stronger in the faith. In Philippians, the first chapter, verses 9, it said, I pray this, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Christ Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. There's another standard we can go by. There's another. It's all part of one standard. And this is another chapter in that standard. He says that you may abound in knowledge and discernment. How are you going to abound in knowledge and discernment? The Scriptures tells us to study to show ourselves approved. Right? A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. So, if you're studying to show yourself approved, you're testing yourself, right? You're studying that standard. That you may be approved by God. Rightly dividing the Word of God. In other words, you're going to be able to understand what you're reading. You're going to have discernment. You're going to be able to test the spirits. You're going to be like those that are in Berea. You're going to be able to meditate upon the Word or search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. So you're going to have that. You're going to be able to do that. That's how you're going to learn knowledge and discernment. You're going to be able to tell the good from the evil and tell yourself, no, I don't need to be there. That's the wrong place for me to be in. Or it's the wrong thing for me to say. That's the wrong thing for me to think. You're going to be able to do that because you've been building yourself up with the Scripture. You've been putting it in. You've been ingraining it within you that it's growing. It's blossoming into a strong Christian, a faithful Christian. And he talks about the fruits of righteousness. We know about the fruits of righteousness. We've studied those before, and it gives a list of those. What they all are. And then we can look at those also and see, am I doing those things? And as Brother Don said in his prayer this morning, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, last verse there, it says, forgive one another, even as Christ has also forgiven you. There's another thing. Are you forgiving someone? Are you forgiving a Christian that may have done something wrong to you, may have said something wrong to you, but they've never come and said, hey, I'm sorry for what I said, or I'm sorry for what I've done. But do you go ahead and forgive them anyway? Whether they do that, or are you waiting for that? Christ forgave all men. He told the Lord on the cross, he said, forgive those, for they know not what they do. Stephen said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. He said, don't hold that to their account. So they were forgiving, whether they got asked or anything. They still forgave. So that's the type of spirit that we are to have in us. That's the type of mindset we are to have. So there's part of there. Those part of this, there's another, like I said, another chapter in that standard. So we have this standard that we can go by. Go to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Start in verse 1. He says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself, and so that you will not be tempted, which we just talked about that a few minutes ago. It says, if you're strong, you're spiritual ones, you see someone that's weak, restore them. But how are you going to do it? With gentleness. He said, also look for yourself that you won't be caught up in that same temptation too. Verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the word, the love of God, the love of Christ. There's a, ask yourself, am I bearing one another's burdens? Have I helped restore someone back? There in Galatians. Those who are strong, take care of those who are weak. Try to restore them back. Then he goes into verse 3. He says, if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh receive or reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Then he goes on in verse 10, he says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. There's several things right here in this these few verses he talks about. He said, don't boast about yourself. Don't say, look at me, I'm a higher Christian than these others. Don't be a Pharisee. He said, but examine yourself. When you think about examine yourself, examine your own work. Examine what you do. Be honest enough and ask yourself, am I doing these things? Am I following the standard that God has given me? Do I even know what the standard is? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And then you say, well, I'm trying to be the Christian that I should be. And you very well be sincere in your heart and trying. But are you meeting those standards? Are you meeting the test? Are you walking worthily of the calling of Christ? He goes on and says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. In other words, God knows what you're doing. He said, for what a man sows, that he will also reap. And we all know what sowing means. We all know what that means. We're planting something. We're going to reap the life that we sow is the life that we're going to reap. If it's a carnal life, that's what we're going to reap. If it's a spiritual life, that's what we're going to reap. But once again, we have a standard to test ourselves on. You can ask yourself, where do I fit in here? And you, God don't have to keep a scorecard. You can keep your own scorecard because he knows what you're doing. You can even have yourself a checklist if you wanted to. But you should make it so it's a part of your life that you just do it without thinking about it. But once in a while, go back and say, hey, am I following these things? Let me look at my life. Am I walking in the way I should? And then these last three verses, he talks about don't grow weary in doing good. If you see someone that needs help, brethren especially, do we help them? Or do we pat them on the back? I hope things work out for you. John talks about that. So you need to do a little more than just saying, okay. Or James also, okay, just be, pat you on the back, you're okay. Actually do something. Actually help out. Whether it be food, whether it be clothing, whatever it may be, help out. But then he gives a thing you kind of look at there in the last part of that last verse I read. It said, when you have opportunity, do good unto all. What's he talking about all? He's talking about all people. Because he qualifies a little bit in the rest of the verse there. He said, especially those in the household of faith. My duty, an undefiled religion, is to take care of the poor and the widows and the orphans. That's my duty as a Christian to do. So I'm doing good to all men, especially those that are my brethren. So there's a standard we can go by, and I didn't even put that down. We need to put that Ephesians down there in the fourth chapter. I believe it's verse 31. There's the last verse of the chapter. It may not be 31, but it's the last verse about forgiving. But as we look at this, Paul has been writing these letters to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Corinthians. He's telling them a standard to follow by. That's giving us a standard to follow by. A standard for us to test ourselves. Then I'd like for you to look in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We talk about examining. He goes to a different part of our lives here. There in the 11th chapter, Corinthians had made the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, and the taking of the cup into a feast, into a love feast. Some had something, some had nothing. They weren't doing it for the right reason. Because at the end of the chapter, he says, don't you all have houses to eat in? Go there and eat. Don't make a mockery of the Lord's Supper. But he talks about in that, and a lot of us use that when we're at the middle of the table. But in verse 23, he begins talking about the Lord's Supper. He said, I received this from the Lord, and said, that which I also give to you. That he had given thanks, the Lord had given thanks for the bread and for the blood, or the fruit of the vine. But what I want us to look at is verse 28. He said, but a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29 says, he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. We're held to a high standard here. If we're not examining ourselves, making sure that we're coming before the Lord without spot and without blemish at this time, if we're not examining ourselves, making sure that our minds are fully upon that sacrifice, then we're not judging the body rightly. If you go back up to the verse in 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We're held to a high standard there. Do we realize what he's saying? We're guilty of that if we don't do it right. We're guilty of that, hanging him on that cross. Guilty of that body and that blood. So, see, we're held to a high standard. We're also held to a high standard in our everyday walks of life as we went through these few verses. So I want you to take these verses and test yourself. Not just today, not just tomorrow, not next day, but test yourself every day. Because how much studying are we getting? We attend services 1, 2, 3 hours a week, but we have several hours that we're not with brethren. We're not in school, as you would say. We're not here. So we're going to have to see if we can meet the test. See if we can pass the test. See if we're walking that line, that fine line. Now, I want you to look back to Hebrews 19th or 10th chapter and verse 24 and 25, beginning really in verse 19. There's some things here that he wants us to uphold. In the 10th chapter, we all know, everyone goes to that one saying about assembling and everything, but I think there's, that is important, but I think there's something more important that before you come, it comes up to that, something that's got to be done to help you make that. There in the 19th verse, you need to remember these things. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter that holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confidence of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Go back to those verses 19 through 24. Are you hitting those things? Are we doing those things? Ask yourself. There's another test for you. So we should have confidence to enter the holy place by the word, by the blood of Christ. He died. He broke down that veil. He tore that veil down. His blood and his body was given for us. He's our great high priest. He gave his life once and for all. He says, let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of our faith. We have full assurance. We have a standard given to us to go by. He said, have a sincere heart. That our heart's been sprinkled, our heart's been clean. As Bob Dickey talked about in 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there were some, they gave a list through verses 9 through 11 in 6th chapter. All those things that people were adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, thieves, murderers. But the greatest thing of what we've seen there in that 11th verse says, such as some of you were, but you were sanctified. You were washed. You were justified by the blood of Christ. We have full assurance that our sins are forgiven. We can also have full assurance that we are living the right way. We are walking down the right path. We're not wavering from the right to the left. We're not running the middle of the fence, but we're on the right side. We're on that straight and narrow. All these things you can test yourself and find out if you are there. Or if you're on that narrow pathway. But as you look into that, he says 23 and verse 23 and 24, we're not going to waver in our faith. We know what's right and wrong. But I think the greatest thing in these verses, or the next verse, says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works or good deeds. Let us figure out how we can help you grow in faith, help you grow in good works. Because if I'm helping you, I know you're going to be helping me. And that's our responsibility. That's to see if you passed the test or if you're failing the test. So this morning, as you write these verses down, take them home and study them, or not even study them, just look over them every day for the whole week. That's your assignment for your test, okay? Five verses. Just look them over. Maybe read them once a day. And then at the end of the week, you should have them about memorized. And say, how am I doing? Is my test an A? Or is it a C? I need some improvement. Or is it an F? I'm just flat out flunking. There you go. There's your test. So you can have that. There's your assignment. And you can find out by the end of the week if you're in the right way. Also, at the that's your lesson, but I want to look at it. One verse, and we'll have the invitation. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 12 and 13, or 17 and 18, I'm sorry. I want you to look at that verse. You might write this one down too, so you can kind of look at it and ask yourself the same question. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Can you ask yourself, when you look in that mirror, I can see the glory of Jesus through me. I passed the test. I'm walking the straight and narrow. I'm standing for what's right. So let me ask you now, if you're subject to invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?